Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." And so they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who are in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he says, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." And so they came to Jericho. The company of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know, but be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." But he says, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." And so the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of the prophets were there, who also went and stood at some distance from them. And as they both were standing by the Jordan, Elijah took off his mantle, he rolled it up, and he struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I'm taken away." And Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing of God's holy word. May it sink deep down and bring forth much fruit, the word of God for the people of God. As I was thinking about this text and thinking about how it spoke to me, I was thinking of people in my life who made such a difference, a profound difference, just by the way that they lived, that it made me want to live a better life. Anybody ever experienced that? And my grandmother was that person in my life. She was the kind of person that the scriptures were real to her. They were precious to her, and she did her best to try to live it out every day. In the community, people in the community called her mother. They were not her children, but spiritually they were. And my grandmother, her faith was just amazing. I can remember on one occasion we were taking care of a lady by the name of Miss Amanda. From an early age, I would walk her dog and go to the store for her. Well, at about age 20, Miss Amanda died. And we didn't know, but she didn't have any insurance. And so my grandmother told me to meet her at the funeral home, and we went there. And the director said, "Well, I understand that Miss Amanda did not have insurance." And my grandmother said, "That's correct, but this is what I want, and this is what I want, and this is what I want." And he says, "Well, how do you plan to pay it?" She said, "Sir, it'll be paid. This is what I want, and this is what I want." And we left from the funeral home, and we went to the Jersey Journal. And my grandmother was writing things down, and she wrote a letter and put it in the Jersey Journal. And she talked about Miss Amanda's life, and that Miss Amanda was a believer, and that she needed the community to come together to help bury Miss Amanda. All the money that she needed was provided, and then some. She had the kind of faith like that. I mean, I'm thinking, why would we go there if we don't have the money to pay for this? Anybody else would have thought like that? And surely when he asked these questions and we didn't have the money, I would have gotten nervous and said, "Well, I'll come back when I have the money." But Grandma knows that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. She had that kind of faith that touched you. It made you want to have that kind of faith. It made you want to trust like that. When we were growing up, I had four brothers, four knucklehead brothers, and including myself, and one sister. But I think as we got to be teenagers, you know, and my mom would try to spank us, we were, you know, we could take it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It didn't hurt anymore. But mama knows how to get you, don't they? Mama knows how to get you. So my mother said, you know what? I'm not going to spank you. I'm not going to punish you. I'm going to call your grandmother. Mama, please don't call grandma. My mama, please don't call grandma. And we would hold on to a leg while she's dragging us to the phone. And she would call grandma. And grandma would sigh on you. Anybody know what I'm talking about when I say that? My mother's on the phone. She's telling us how bad Derek was. And then she said, well, Shirley, please put him on the phone. My mother handed me the phone. You know you're already in tears, right? And grandma just sighs on you. She goes, grandma's just so disappointed. I just cry like you wouldn't believe. But grandma made me want to live a better life. And I've always said, if I can just be half the person that she is, then I'm going to do all right. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So let us pray. Most gracious God, I'm a sinner saved by your grace. But I know all you have to do is say the word, and I shall be healed long enough to do your work and to do your will. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. How do we let the love of God flow through us so that it might touch the life of another? One of the ways that we do that is we have to become selfless. Amen? And we have to begin to have a burden for other people, have to care about what's going on in other people's lives. And as I was going through this and looking at these two scriptures, I mean, they really exemplify the story. In the first story, it's a story that it really doesn't tell us about how Naomi's husband died, Elimelech and his two sons. It doesn't tell us why. I guess we have to use our imagination. But we do know that they died leaving these three women widows. And so Naomi says, look, I'm an old woman. I can't do anything else for you. She's talking to her daughter-in-laws. You go back to your hometown and go back and be with your family. They'll take good care of you. So Oprah, she kissed Naomi and said, okay, it's a good idea. She went back to her family. But Ruth says, no. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. And where you die, I will be buried. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. I mean, this is powerful. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Something about the way that Naomi lived her life, that it touched the life of Ruth. And it changed her. And she said, I want that. How many people would look in our lives and say, I want some of that? You know what you have, I want it to rub off on me. I want to be like you because they see something great in us. They see the way that we live our lives. They see that we trust God in the midst of our storms. Kavanaugh goes to see Mother Teresa, and he says, man, I'm here. Mother Teresa, I want you to pray for me. She said, what shall I pray for? She said, that I might have clarity like you. And she said, son, I've never had clarity. All I have is faith. That's what I want. I want what Hugh Harris has, some of that. the God that's in him. How many of you have seen some of his artwork? That he can take a pen and do portraits that will just bless your soul. Hugh, I'm good at stick figures, man. All right? But I want some of that. Who in your life that you can think about that's been a blessing to you? That when you look at their life, you go, I want some of that. Is there anybody in your life? There's a beautiful story of two men walking along the desert. And at some point, they got into an argument. And one friend slapped the other right in the face. Without saying anything, he kneeled down and he began to write in the sand, my best friend slapped me in the face. And they went on. And they saw an oasis. And they said, hey, this is a good place to take a bath. So they got in. But one friend got stuck in mud and he began to drown. The other friend jumped in and saved him. And when the friend got to himself, he saw a stone. And he wrote on the stone, my best friend saved my life. So the one who had slapped him and the one who had saved him said, I noticed when I hurt you, you wrote it in the sand. And I noticed when I saved you, you wrote it on stone. Why is that? He says, when a friend hurts you, write it in the sand so that the winds of forgiveness can blow it away. But when a friend blesses you, write it in stone so that you'll never forget it. I want a little bit of that in my life. I think in my life, I got a little bit too much. You hit me, I'm going to hit you back. I got a little bit too much of that in me. Anybody else? At least I'm honest. In this second story of Second Kings, you have the prophet Elijah and his protege, Elisha. And somehow it must have been good for them because it doesn't always work when you pair people together. It's no guarantee that it's going to work. It's like a senior pastor and an associate pastor. It doesn't always work. Let me tell you, it doesn't always work. But in this story, something beautiful happened. And Elisha just doesn't want to leave Elijah. He doesn't want Elijah to go up to heaven, but he knows it's going to happen, but he says, I'm going to be with him every second. Somehow, Elijah touched his life. And he touched his life in such a way that he was forever changed. And Elijah turns around to him and he says, you know I'm going to be taken up in a whirlwind, but if there's anything that I can do for you, what would you want me to do? Give me a double portion of your spirit. Who would look at us and say, give me a double portion of that? Some of y'all smiling because you don't know what that is. But I want a double portion of that. As I said to you earlier, if I'm half the person that my grandmother is, I'm going to be all right. You see, the love that God has given us is an everlasting love. And if we would just impart some of that love onto another, it can be life transforming. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It can change the heart of another. I've seen people change. Love changes people. I've seen it happen over and over again. But if we would be so willing to give of our time, our talent, our energy, our money, to building God's kingdom. It's a wonderful way to show that his love is everlasting because it's in us. And we will do whatever it takes to build the kingdom of God. Are you with me? And when we do that, we can touch a life like Naomi touched Ruth. We can touch a life like Elijah touched Elisha. So your homework today, you didn't know you were going to get homework today, but your homework today is when you're at the lunch table with your family, I want you to share with them somebody that has touched your life in a profound way. And even if that person is not alive, I want you to do something to honor that person who's blessed you. Amen? Sometimes it's just good to remember. It's good to remember that people have been good to us. It's good to remember that people have been good examples for us in the faith. Sometimes it's good to remember that Mama and Grandmama took me to church every Sunday. My mother drug us to church. There was no question about going to church in our house. And you can say, Mama, I'm feeling sick. She said, that's all right. The preacher will pray for you. We went to church. Who in your life has touched you in a profound way? From that everlasting love from God through them touched you. And that's what God desires of us. Would you join hands with the person next to you? And the reason why we do this is we never know what the person next to us is going through. On the outside, we all look great. But in your life, there can be a whole lot going on. In your family's life, there can be a whole lot going on. And so we touch and agree so that we might be on one accord. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we love you so much. And we thank you that you love us with an everlasting love. And that your love is so real that it overflows within us. It floods our hearts until we're compelled to share it with another. Lord, we're so glad that your love is beyond us, that we cannot measure it in any way. But thank God we get to experience it. And so, Lord, I don't know what's going on in people's lives today, but you do. And for those who might come with broken hearts, I pray that you would comfort them. For those who are grieving, Lord, I pray that you would chase away the dark clouds of despair. For those who are heavy of heart, I pray that they might leave their burdens right here and not take them with them. Because you told us to cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. And Father, we pray for our sick and our shut-in. They cannot be here. Many of them wish that they could. But we're so grateful that you are omnipresent, that you can be with them as you are with us in this moment. Father, breathe on them. Stop by the hospital rooms. Stop by their homes. Let them feel and know your presence, that you love them so much. And Lord, we would be so careful to give you the praise.